May the words that I say be in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a sentence which occurs in St. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi that reads as follows. All I care for is to know Christ. It's such an astonishing and sweeping statement. It's the sort of remark a young lover might make to his paramour. All I want is you. Whenever one comes across Paul, either in his own writings or in the stories about him in the Acts of the Apostles, he's never less than wholehearted. There's nothing lukewarm about Paul. And his conversion that we celebrate today is recounted with frightening and astonishing detail and result. Such a profound effect did it have upon him, he retells the story himself at least twice more in the Acts of the Apostles and once more in his letters. We are spared no detail. There is an intensity and devotion to detail about it all that cannot but impress us with the overwhelming effect that that experience had for him, and indeed, as it came to be seen in the life of the early church. For Paul, it was a time of personal crisis, psychological trauma, and extraordinary volte-face. At the risk of being misunderstood, one could almost say it was a coming out. His conversion probably took place in the early 40s AD, a dozen or so years after Jesus' death and resurrection, and the result of that conversion led to dramatic development over the next few years in the nature of the early church. With Paul's mission to non-Jews, his turning to the Gentiles, the church was embarked on the development and spread of the gospel and the widening of the net that still continues to this day. The word conversion, of course, need not necessarily refer to a sudden, one-off event. It can be a much longer and gradual process, which eventually results in a recognition of where one now stands. At a baptism and at confirmation, candidates are asked, "Do you turn to Christ?" It is the turning, the putting Christ as a focus of our attention, the goal of our journey, the acknowledgement that Christ is the very reason for our existence and our destiny, which lies at the heart of conversion. We talk of conversion tables, of turning gallons into litres and euros into pounds sterling, and some of us still like to convert pounds and pence into old-fashioned pounds, shillings and pence. And there's an obvious change in calibration or calculation within the system. But essentially, one is still dealing with the same substance and amount, whether it be petrol, money, or a temperature on the thermometer. But when we're talking about a conversion experience, such as Paul's, we're using the word in a slightly different sense. It's used to mark the moment when an open, public acknowledgement is made now of a definite professed belief in Jesus Christ as Lord, when previously in Paul's case he'd not only been dead set against it, but also very active in the persecution of the followers of Jesus. I always have hopes of those who are most active in their opposition to Christianity. Their obsessive attacking of religious faith means that they must be much disturbed by it. And sometimes all they seem to lack is some personal encounter with the living Lord or with those of a living faith that represent him, for them also to become confessed and avid Christians. Yet there is a parallel with the other use of the sense of conversion, for, in one sense, Paul was still the same person after his conversion. He was still the same man, still obsessive, still totally committed, still argumentative, still single-minded, still utterly convinced, but now in the cause of Christ. All I care for is to know Christ. Now, I find the parallel in Paul's character with his pre-conversion life and that after his conversion very reassuring. He's not been so taken over that he becomes some zombie-like character controlled by the Spirit of God. He's still there with all his faults in many ways, but now he is serving God and is aware of and knows those faults and wrestles with them. The good that I would do, I cannot. The evil that I would not do, I do. I find that a great source of hope for us, and for these reasons. However sudden and unexpected Paul's conversion as recounted to us, there must have been a gradual process of unease and dissatisfaction growing daily within him, where he found that despite himself, he was driven to even more zealous persecution to try and overcome his own doubts of where he was being led. Now, we are not told as such in the story in Acts. His conversion there is sudden, almost violent. But it took him some time, at least 3 years, to work out what it all meant for him. Indeed, one could say it took him the rest of his life. What we do know is that Paul found he was eventually able to come to terms with what had happened to him. He had become a new person in Christ. So, for us, our conversion may be gradual. It may be over a lifetime. We may be very zealous for Christ in one sense, very good church people, very keen to live good, active, and helpful lives. And yet it may be that the jigsaw puzzle of our lives in Christ is not quite yet fitting into place. With the passage of time, or perhaps as the reaction to a particular occurrence in our lives, something may make us realize that we are changed, and we have changed in Christ. We could almost say that our lives in the past have been like seeing through a glass darkly. But now we may even say we see, if not face to face, at least much more clearly. And if that process is happening in our lives and we recognize it, it is then that we realize that it is not just something for us personally. It isn't some personal high, although it may well be a life-affirming, God-given experience. But like so many people who have gone down the ages before us, prophets and saints onwards, to be aware of one's dedication to Christ in this way is to recognize that we have a duty to proclaim Christ and to share the gospel, the good news, with the world. And God will equip us to do that in our own particular way through the gifts that he wishes to give us. It is not a coincidence that the week of prayer for Christian unity is brought to completion by this day, the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. For the call to unity is not so that we can just be all Christians together, rejoicing in the coat of many colours, which is the worldwide Catholic Church of Christ. But unity is so that the Church may be that much more effective in the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ in the gospel. If we would let the burning mission of the church guide more of our thoughts about Christian unity, I'm sure there would be a greater sense of urgency and direction in our efforts to grow together and support one another. What the churches need are conversion experiences, not loads of reports. It may still come at the end of a long process, however. And we must pray for that conversion, so that it is the words of St. Paul that all of us would want to speak. All I care for is to know Christ. Amen.